the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Andrea's Room, was written by Virginia Mazur.
I'm sitting in Andrea's room, in the big chair where I used to sit and read to her when she was small. She curled up on the window seat, I in the chair by the window. The book is open on my lap. But nowadays I find it impossible to read. I have tried old friends like Jane Austen and Trollope, but even they have abandoned me. Today, in desperation, I turn to the books on Andrea's shelves. Have some wine, March Hare said. Alice looked around the table. I don't see any wine, she remarked. There isn't any, said the March Hare. Alice in Wonderland, Winnie the Pooh, the Bobbsey Twins, Little Women. I leaf through them in despair. And now this book lying on my lap, presented to Andrea Freeman in honor of her bas mitzvah by Beth David Synagogue, it says in the flyleaf. The book falls open where on some forgotten summer day she stuck two cornflowers as a bookmark. I read, To everything there is a season and a time for everything under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. The words squirm like snakes. I know that whatsoever God doth, it shall be forever. 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 I'm sinking in a vast feather bed of nothingness.
Ellen! Ellen! Ellen, where are you?
I'm here, in Andrea's room.
Oh, I hoped you'd be outside. It's such a beautiful day.
Is it? I hadn't noticed.
What have you been doing with yourself?
Oh, this and that. I dusted Andrea's room and put fresh lavender in the drawers, and then I took down the curtains for Mrs. Newsom to wash.
Helen, I don't want to hurt you. We've talked about this before. It's not natural. It's sick what you're doing. Oh, now, please don't look at me like that. Come, take a walk with me. There's time before dinner.
No, I think I'd rather sit here. I like to see the sun go down from Andrea's window.
I'll have it your way. I'll go change and do a little work in the garden. Helen, you know, don't you, we can't go on like this. We can't go on. Dr. Aronson, I hardly know how to begin.
Mr. Freeman, many people find it difficult to talk about themselves the first time.
Well, it's not myself, Doctor. It's my wife.
Oh?
I've tried and tried to get her to come. So have our friends, our rabbi. But it's no use.
What seems to be your wife's trouble?
She's the most wonderful woman in the world, Dr. Helen is. Intelligent, a good sense of humor, a wonderful wife and neighbor. I mean, she used to be all of these things. Now...
What happened?
Well, we lost our daughter, our only child.
That's too bad.
The bottom dropped out of everything. Nothing seemed important, worthwhile anymore. It was that way for both of us. But gradually, as time went by, I found myself getting involved in life again, almost against my will. I'd find I was actually enjoying putting through a business deal. I'd read about a movie and want to see it. But not my wife.
Would you describe her reaction?
She's become practically a recluse. Doesn't want to go anywhere, see anyone. She spends most of her time in Andrea's room.
Doing what?
I really don't know. She keeps all of her clothes freshly washed and ironed, the room dusted, fresh flowers on the desk. It's as if she's waiting for Andrea to come back.
As you know, grief can manifest itself in many ways, Mr. Freeman. Some people can talk it out, others have to act it out. But we do know that for every individual, there has to be a period of mourning. Maybe your wife hasn't yet had sufficient time to recover from her loss.
But how much time, Doctor? How much? Andrea's been dead 4 years this summer.
I see. Puts a different light on things. You say she's adamant about getting any psychiatric help.
No, she won't hear of it. It's hopeless, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't say that. There are a great many alternatives to therapy. Life itself is a great therapist.
I don't follow you.
From the little you've told me, I'd say a great part of your wife's sense of self was tied up in her child.
Or they were as close as they could be. When we knew Andrea would be our only child, but there couldn't be any more, my wife put everything she had into bringing up Andrea. I don't mean she spoiled her to death. It was just Helen's terrific feeling of responsibility for the child. Not just her body, but her mind. Her soul, if you'll allow me to use an old-fashioned word like that.
What you've said is very interesting. Responsibility. That's the key word, I think. Great part of our humanity resides in our feeling of responsibility. I'd say your wife is suffering from a loss of responsibility. Nobody is making demands upon her.
What kind of demands?
Demands that fulfill her humanness, that she be responsible for something or someone.
I've often thought the way the world is, of the millions of children who need somebody. And just the two of us rattling around in that big old house like dry peas in a dry pod.
But you've never spoken to your wife of your feelings?
No. I felt it was very thin ice with her. I've been afraid.
I think the danger lies in the other direction. And not making demands upon her. I think it was Goethe who said something like this. If we take people as they are, we make them worse. If we treat them as if they are what they ought to be, we help them to become what they are capable of becoming.
Look, David, I hung Andrea's curtains today. Don't they look pretty?
Helen, I have to talk to you.
The material's getting frayed, though, and I'm worried that it won't stand another washing.
Helen, please, come downstairs
with me. I've been thinking of trying to match it, having a new pair made. I wouldn't want a different pattern. Andrea loved this one. Oh, I remember the day we went together to pick it up.
Helen, stop it. Don't go on like this.
Why? What do you mean?
Andrea's dead.
How can you be so cruel? You must hate me very much.
No, I love you very much. But not only have I lost my daughter, I've lost my wife. I can't go on the way we are. This house, you've made it an altar to the dead.
I was her mother. For 14 years, I held her life in my hands like a cup of trembling water. Oh, you wouldn't know.
I do know. You were a wonderful mother to her. There's a fire burning in you, Helen. That's why I loved you. Don't let it go out.
But if there's no longer anyone to come and warm themselves...
Here, look at this paper.
I don't want to see the paper. It's full of nothing but heartbreak.
I picked it up on the train this morning. It's not the one I usually buy. Call it chance if you want to. I don't.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look at it. Look at these children. All they're asking is for 2 weeks. 2 weeks of our miserly lives.
Oh, the fresh air children. We used to say that we were going to take one some summer as a playmate for Andrea.
But we never did.
Well, it's too late now.
It's not too late. 2 weeks. That's all I'm asking. 2 weeks of your life to give to a living child.
If you think that one of these children can take Andrea's place...
I'm thinking nothing of the sort. All I'm asking is 2 weeks. 2 weeks of feeling responsible for another human being.
Well, I'm afraid.
You were never a coward before. When Andrea needed you, you were always there for her. Remember when she fell off a jungle gym and broke her arm?
Yeah, I stayed with her until they put her to sleep to set it.
2 weeks. That's all. 2 weeks for a living child.
But a strange child. I'm like a rusty gate, David. I don't know if I can open for anyone.
I know.
But what child, David? What child?
What child, indeed? What denizen of the city's rancid hallways, its gritty pavements? What child will pack a makeshift suitcase and take a train to fresh air and country green, fear in his eyes, hope in his heart? What child? In a New York City tenement, 5 flights above the raucous street, a little girl wets a stubby pencil in her mouth and writes.
Dear Diary, my English teacher, Miss Fisher, gave me the idea of keeping this diary. I would like a real one with a lock and a key. They cost a lot of money. I stopped by the candy store today and bought this notebook. It will have to do. Miss Fisher said that in a diary you should write down important happenings. Nothing important seems to happen to me. But I heard on the radio today that the USA has launched another satellite. It's called the Pioneer 5th. And it's up there right now, zooming around the Earth. That's an important happening, I guess. Do you know what? I don't really care much about the satellite. I wouldn't say it out loud to anybody because it isn't patriotic. But I think I'm just as important as any satellite, Sputnik included. Why doesn't somebody care what happens to me, Jesse Wilson?
Jesse Wilson.
Oh, were you calling on me, Miss Fisher?
Yes, I was. Do you feel all right, Jesse?
Oh, sure. Sure, I feel okay.
And then try to keep your mind on your work. I know it's spring, but don't do your daydreaming in class. Let's get back to the lesson. Now, Jesse, I'd like you to give me a sentence illustrating the use of the predicate adjective.
Dear Diary, I have never told this to a living soul. My name is Jessica, not Jessie. I'm sure that's what my real mother meant to name me. In my secret thoughts, I am always Jessica. Today in English class, when Miss Fisher called me Jessie, I didn't know who she was talking to. It was very embarrassing.
Her name is Jessie. Jessie Wilson. She's in my 5th period English class.
And what seems to be the trouble, Miss Fisher? Well,
I hope I'm not being an alarmist. I know how busy you school psychologists are, especially in a school like this one.
Is she, Jessie, a behavior problem?
Oh, heavens, no. No, she's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Too quiet. when I call on her, she startles. It's as if I were pulling her back from somewhere out in space.
Is she dull mentally? Retarded?
Oh, Mr. Kirby, there are 39 children in that class. With most of them, it's a matter of keeping them from committing mayhem or drumming into them a few rules of grammar, which they'll never put into practice. But Jessie, well, she's different.
Oh, how different?
She cares.
Well, that's a rather abstract description.
Wait, I'll try again. She cares, I think, about who she is. Here, listen to this. I asked the class to write a poem, and only 3 children turned in anything. This one is Jessie's. If I were a satellite spinning in space, I would know my place in the universe. But that is not the case, so, stranger or friend, I call on you for help. Tell me where I belong, and if I have a song to sing, what song?
Well, I'm no judge of poetry.
That's not it. She's asking for something.
Do you think I should see her?
Oh, I do. Stranger or friend, I call on you for help.
All right, let me take a look at my appointment book and see if I can squeeze her in sometime next week. Miss Fisher, I have the workup on Jesse Wilson. Here's a copy for you.
Oh, good.
As you can see, a lot of it's rather technical, so perhaps it would help if I summarized it quickly.
That's right, in plain ordinary English.
Mm-hmm. Well, in plain ordinary English, Jesse Wilson is not schizophrenic.
Good.
She's not even seriously disturbed. And considering the facts of her life, that's remarkable.
I don't know the facts. Please tell me.
Her mother gave Jesse up for adoption at birth. And since birth, she's been in 6 different foster homes, including the present one.
Oh, the poor child.
Yes, Jessie has had a very high order of intelligence.
Oh, I knew it.
According to the Wexner Bellevue test, she rates 135, which puts her in the superior level of the population.
Mm-hmm.
The Rorschach and thematic apperception tests show a highly developed imagination, marked creativity.
I was sure of it.
However, on the negative side, there's a marked tendency to withdraw from the real world.
That would account for the daydreaming that worried me, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would. There's a strong feeling of isolation in this child, but balancing that, there's a consistent drive on the fantasy level for recognition, for approval.
For love, couldn't you call it?
Yes, you might put it that way, for love. Which isn't surprising, considering the deprivation of love in her life. Well, briefly, that's the picture.
But what can we do for her? How can we help her?
Well, as I said in the beginning, there's no evidence of any pathological features in her personality. She may be unhappy, but clinically, she's not a disturbed child.
Mm-hmm.
If she were, I could make certain recommendations.
But what's to become of her?
Well, I'd say that in an environment that provided little more nourishment, she might develop into a rather remarkable person.
But here in this slum, this desert, this wilderness, is she just going to wither on the vine?
No. I'd say no. Not as long as there are people like yourself in her world.
I suppose I've known all along she was my responsibility. I just didn't want to face it. There are so many, Doctor, all around us, so many. Thank you, Jessie. The plants look better already since you've begun to take care of them.
I like doing it. Did you notice this one's got a new bud?
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it? I never can remember.
Gloxinia. Jessie, have you ever been in the country?
I don't know. I don't think so. Once the people I lived with, we drove out to Jones Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And another family, I can't remember their name, they took me to Coney Island. But Coney Island, that's not the country. The real country.
Mm-hmm. What would you think of spending a couple of weeks in the real country this summer?
Who, me? I'd like it fine. I'm not kooky enough to think I've got a chance to go.
Yeah, I've been making inquiries. Did you ever hear of the Fresh Air Fund?
I guess not.
It was started a long time ago by one of the New York newspapers. Every year, people send in money to the paper, and the paper uses the money to send children to the country, to camps or to live in people's houses.
If I went, I'd want it to be a home.
No, don't get your hopes up, but I'm going to speak to your mother.
She's not my real mother, you know.
Oh, yes, I know, but I'm going to speak to her about letting you register. Don't count on it too much, but...
I won't. It's like Coney Island. You know those wheels they've got with all the satin dolls and giant teddy bears on the shelf above? The wheel goes round and round, and then it stops. And it's a great big if you've got the lucky number, if you win the prize. I never did. Not once.
The wheel goes round with agonizing slowness, and then it stops. Who has the lucky number? Who is the chosen one? It's all a matter of chance.
I never did win. Not once.
But wait, Jesse. This is life, not a game of chance at Coney Island. There is a pattern, and we are part of the pattern. Even if only sometimes or never, with our blind hearts, we can see the design.
I wonder what she'll be like.
We'll know in a minute.
David, you understand. You must understand that this child, no child, can take Andrea's place.
I understand.
Well, where is she? I don't see any child. I don't think she's on it.
Yes, she is. Look, she's getting off now. Come on.
Oh, David, she's so terribly thin. David, what will I say to her? I'm afraid.
She's looking for us. Jesse? Are you Jesse Wilson?
Yes. I'm Jesse Wilson.
I'm Mr. Freeman, and this is Mrs. Freeman.
We're very glad to have you with us, and we hope that we can make you happy.
Thank you. I don't want to be a bother, but I wonder, just while I'm here, would you try to call me Jessica, please?
I'm sitting in Andrea's room, in the big chair where I used to sit and read to her when she was a child. Something very strange is happening. I don't understand it yet, and I'm almost afraid to speak of it for fear it'll go away. It began yesterday when we brought Jesse home from the station.
I'll put your bag in here, Jesse. I mean, Jessica.
Yes, I fixed up this little room for you, and I hope you like it.
Our room is upstairs. If you should feel afraid or lonesome at night, all you have to do is come up and knock on our door.
I guess I won't be afraid.
David, wait a moment. I think I've changed my mind. This room, it's so small and it's so far away from us.
Well, what do you want to do? Where shall I put her bag?
Put it in Andrea's room. I'm sorry it had to rain today.
I don't mind. I like to hear the rain. In the city, you never hear it. It just gets you wet.
Well, I planned so many things for us to do.
I like it this way. It's cozy. This is a very funny book.
Alice in Wonderland? Yes, it is. Andrea used to like it.
Listen to this. Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here, said Alice? That depends a good deal where you want to get to, said the cat.
She goes back to her book. A deep feeling of order, of rightness, of some ultimate pattern in a seemingly random universe comes over me. This feeling is unlike happiness. It is unlike anything I've ever known before. I open the book that for so long I have been unable to read. To everything, there is a season and a time for everything under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, yet so that man cannot find out the work that God hath done from the beginning even to the end.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Miss Mary Martin, star of the Broadway production The Sound of Music and a member of the board of directors of the Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund, Miss Martin.
"Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" said Alice.
"That depends a good deal where you want to get to," said the cat.
I just love that part of Alice in Wonderland. But how many children really know what a wonderland is or will ever get a chance to find out? This year, more than 10,000 youngsters like Jessica, will begin to understand. Children of all races, creeds, and nationalities, the handicapped as well as the able-bodied, will leave their playgrounds of steaming pavements and fire escapes to discover for the first time the wonderland of fresh air, swimming in mountain lakes, sharing questions and answers with people who care. Over the past 83 years, the Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund has given free vacations to almost 850,000 boys and girls. The fund has 7 camps in New York and Connecticut. There are camps for the young and for teenagers, too, and even a camp which is pioneering in integrated camping for handicapped and able-bodied children. In friendly towns all along the eastern seaboard, from Maine to Virginia, local Fresh Air Fund committees arrange for thousands of children like Jessica to spend vacations in the homes of families like the Freemans. In every part of America, people give the support that makes this all possible. People who have learned the Fresh Air Fund story from programs such as this. And people who remember what fresh air vacations meant to their own growing up. What does a country vacation mean to a city child who has never experienced the wonders of nature? Who never has known the warmth of family life? Who never has known an adult who wants to help him solve the mysterious problems that loom so big to a growing child? Well, what did your childhood vacations mean to you? Isn't it wonderful to have a way to share our fondest memories of summer happiness with others? Isn't it wonderful to be able to give summer to a child?
Thank you, Miss Mary Martin. Our eternal light drama today, Andrea's Room, was written by Virginia Mazur. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Jan Miner was starred as the mother, Ralph Bell as the father, and Barbara Myers as Jessica. Others in the cast were Santos Ortega, Ida Reese Marin, Ivor Francis, and Roger DeCoven. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.